Acme Lithium, a company positioned near the epicenter of lithium production in the United States. Since 1966, Nevada's Clayton Valley has been the primary production source for lithium in all of North America. Acme Lithium holds two promising lithium projects in the Clayton Valley region. Acme Lithium, U.S. trading symbol ACLHF, and in Canada, ACME. Web address, acmelithium.com. That's acmelithium.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, and he writes political economics. He's based in London, observing inflation. Inflation, Joe has been writing about this since the late winter of 2020. Well, here it is. The inflation story is now part of every cycle in Washington of the Federal Reserve. The news cycle these last hours is especially rich because the president has made a decision to continue Mr. Powell in his role as chairman. He has at the same time made a longtime member of the Federal Reserve, Lael Brannard, the vice chair. The concern here is we trusted them before. Do we continue to trust, given the talk of Lael Brannard as a regulator and the talk of Mr. Powell as dovish in an environment where the markets believe that tighter money is necessary to maintain the health of the economy? I read from the Wall Street Journal's editorial. The Fed chairman didn't anticipate the inflationary burst and then spent months clinging to the view that it is, quote, transitory. Now even Mr. Powell admits there is a problem, but the Fed is still moving at a glacial pace against it. The Fed has maintained the loosest monetary policy in history, despite strong economic growth and a 4.6 jobless rate. Real interest rates are still negative, and Mr. Powell has given no public indication of having second thoughts. Joe, you've had first thoughts on this. Inflation is right in front of us. It's not temporary. It's not enough to be vindicated now. The question is, does Mr. Powell in his second term, and he must go to the Senate and advise and consent and answer questions, does he tighten sooner than expected? Does he now demonstrate hawkishness?
It doesn't seem likely because, I mean, remember a big part of his audition for this reappointment over the past year has been giving every indication that he would move ever so gently in terms of, increasing rates or slowing down, tapering the pace of asset purchases under the quantitative easing program as slowly as possible, because that is exactly what politicians in Washington want. They are not bothered by inflation because they don't bear the costs in the same way that ordinary households do out in the countryside. And meanwhile, they do not want to increase the government's borrowing costs when they've been doing these big fiscal blowouts. And they also do not want the Fed to do anything that might jeopardize the employment boom that's going on. And you can quibble, and I often do, with sort of the economic theories that lead them to believe that their actions would have that effect, but they clearly believe that this would be a result of tightening monetary policy, and so they don't want to do it. And President Biden has reappointed Chairman Powell precisely because he thinks that Powell will move slowly to do that. And, don't lose sight of the significance of also promoting Lael Brannard to that number, to that vice chairmanship position. This is part of a bargain with progressives in the Senate, especially the Elizabeth Warren wing, who wanted Brannard to get the chairmanship herself, precisely in the expectation that she would pursue very dovish policies on monetary policy. So I think that, all signals are that we are not going to get particularly hawkish action from the Fed, certainly not any more so from Powell after he has been reappointed than we were getting before.
I contribute a stark demonstration of what inflation means to the American people. In these last hours, I've had a conversation with my friend Francis Rose, who reports on the federal government. And I learned through a member of the American Enterprise Institute writing about this that the federal government has promised, has in train, a 2.7% increase in salary, in pay to the armed services. That has not gone through yet, but it's in the Defense Act that will be acted upon soon enough. However, inflation most recently posted is at 6.2%. That means that for 2022, the armed services, especially the enlisted people who are the least paid in the country, are going to get a pay cut, and it doesn't get better in 2023. That's what inflation means, Joe. Now, Mr. Powell can see that. The president can see that. Inflation is not going to be tamed by continuing dovishness. Do I say that correctly, Joe?
Yes. And, you know, we need to talk about this wage situation for a bit, because I find this very perplexing and worrying, and especially because I don't really understand what's happening myself, and I'm not convinced anyone else does either. So when you have this kind of inflation, I mean, for a long time, there's been this conventional wisdom that you would spark a wage spiral because workers would start demanding more pay. Then that sort of causes their employers to push up prices so that they can afford the pay. And then, you know, people see rising prices and demand more money from their employers, and you're off to the races. And I am actually kind of worried that that does not seem to be happening right now. I mean, you pointed to some examples where actually, although we are seeing nominal wage increases, people are still falling behind the current inflation rate. And that is very puzzling given how tight the labor market is right now. It occurred to me recently that I would have expected actually the wage price spiral to have started much sooner given the tightness of the labor market. So I think that we need to be very concerned about the fact that that is not happening right now. And that raises the very real prospect that this inflation is going to continue into next year, partly perversely because the Fed will be reassured that there is not a wage price spiral developing. So, yes, you heard that right. The Fed thinks that its policies are working as long as it is reassured that people's pay is falling further and further behind inflation. The consequence of that is that people's pay will be falling further and further behind inflation. And that is going to create its whole other set of economic difficulties for a lot of people. And that will be true even if the inflation rate slows down, because people's pay will not have caught up to the higher baseline of prices at that point.
There was more to this appointment, double appointment, to be blessed or not by the U.S. Senate. There'll be lots of Q&A going forward, but more to it than just inflation. I have this statement from the president. This is reading from the Wall Street Journal editorial. Said Mr. Biden, together, referring to Ms. Brainard and Mr. Powell, they also share my deep belief that urgent action is needed to address the economic risks posed by climate change and stay ahead of emerging risks in our financial system. Joe, the Wall Street Journal offers in translation, but I'm puzzled. How is it that the Federal Reserve is in the fight against climate change? That's physics. That's meteorology. That's land management. How is it the Fed?
Well, the theory here is going to be that, of course, remember the backstory to this is that progressives have not been able to get through Congress, that is actually elected by people, any measures that would directly limit carbon dioxide emissions in the way that the environmentalists would like. So the approach now is going to be to go through the financial system, and the mechanism, and the Fed actually has a lot of mechanisms they can use to achieve that. So for example, the Fed periodically does these regulatory stress tests of banks, where they sort of say, well, the bank has to tell us what exactly its balance sheet looks like and who it's been lending money to and what are the risks of those loans, so that we can figure out, you know, if economic growth slows by a certain amount or employment rises by a certain amount or some of those loans, aren't repaid, would the bank survive? Well, you know, you can actually exercise a lot of regulatory influence over a bank's lending decisions if you say, well, okay, when we do that exercise, we are going to tell you that you have to count loans for oil companies, for example, as much riskier than you have done to date. And that can effectively make it more expensive for the banks to offer those loans to companies, and that will discourage them from doing it. Or you can, you know, exert other forms of pressure on banks in terms of the sorts of business relationships that they might have with some of these companies, all in the name of financial stability. But really what you were doing is trying to effect through opaque financial regulation what you could not get through Congress in the light of day. And we're going to see a lot more of that. That was the big logic behind promoting Ms. Brainard, because she is very supportive of this sort of effort, or anyway, you know, people like Senator Elizabeth Warren think that Brainard will be supportive of that. And we need to be very careful about that.
So the Federal Reserve then turns into a wing of the EPA, or the EPA is a wing of the Federal Reserve about climate change. Does that speak to any of the other concerns the Federal Reserve has? Jobless rate, the job rate and the jobless rate and the, and inflation. What does that have to do with the two tracks, correct, are in worries about inflation, keep it at 2%, and full employment, keep it around 4 to 5%. Where's climate change in that?
Oh, see, that is the big question that we're supposed to overlook in all of this, because you're absolutely right. The Congress has legislated a mandate for the Federal Reserve that they are supposed to control inflation and also try to generate more economic growth. And it is difficult to see how some of these climate mandates are consistent with that. And yet they're going to come up with some kind of very loose justification that somehow it's bad for the economy if the climate is warming, which I think would, you know, potentially be a very debatable proposition. But that is going to be the peg that they will hang that hat on. And, you know, we're going to end up doing a lot of this via regulation that voters did not vote for and would not support.
There's a lot of pretzel making here, Joe. It hadn't occurred to me that you could use the banks to do what Congress can't or won't do. But Congress, they read the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal. I can expect there'll be some blunt questions about using regulations at the Federal Reserve to worry about how much rain there's going to be in the Ohio River Valley. I can only suppose that that new nominated vice chair will have good answers. Are there good answers, Joe? Does it actually work to punish a bank for giving a loan to fossil fuel? We need fossil fuel. Isn't that what the Strategic Petroleum Reserve release is all about? We're short on the price of gasoline is punishing America.
Well, I mean, I would have thought so. And that does highlight the oddity of the situation where, you know, in general, one of the things that's driving the inflation is that at the same time you have a very healthy demand in the economy, the Biden administration, via various regulatory decisions, has been artificially constraining supply. So, I mean, I don't think that energy prices would be as high as they were now if the administration weren't going out of its way to discourage new investment that could be bringing supply online. And, you know, it isn't even just then about what's going on a daily basis, but there's also the signaling effect that goes on that can be very destructive as well. And this is a big problem. And you know, people need to remember that these nominations at the Fed are going to have to go back to the Senate. And I would certainly hope that at least a couple senators might think to ask about this, because, you know, this is also a threat to the power of those senators. If they tolerate this regulatory encroachment on things that are properly the preserve of the Congress, you know, if I were sitting in that chamber in Capitol Hill, I would really want to defend my legislative rights to make the decisions myself instead of having bureaucrats at the Federal Reserve doing it.
Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics. He's based in London. And we're going to turn to life in London, especially life in the 215-mile-long Thames River, the sharks versus the seals. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.